Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. In this Wednesday's message, Bishop Dag will focus on forgiveness and its importance for Christians. Forgiveness is a seed that anyone can sow to demonstrate help and kindness without expecting anything in return. Today's message will teach you how forgiveness and help go hand in hand by learning from insightful examples Bishop Dag will teach of key people in the Bible. You'll be encouraged to forgive others and extend mercy after today's word.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thanks for the opportunity to be here once again. Thanks for the blessings that we have in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can find our place in your kingdom, live for you and serve you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord and turn with me to Psalm 23 very quickly. And we want to continue our powerful series on I Shall Not Want Because of the Harvest. Amen. Amen. Psalm 23 verse number 1. Shall we read it together, please? The Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All right. Why will I not want? Pardon? Because the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Is that not so? Now, and I'm also showing you other reasons why you shall not want, other things that are in the Bible why you should not want. One of the reasons is because of the harvest. Now, turn with me to Galatians, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I want to keep reading these verses to you over and over again so that you get them into your spirit and you do not forget them. Amen. Hallelujah. I do not want you to forget them. Genesis chapter 8. This happened after the flood, when the flood came over the earth and there was no more any more plants and buildings and anything on the earth. It was all water. And the Lord just destroyed everything. Is that not so? Amen. Okay. Now, all right. Okay. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and what time? Harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Amen. In other words, there will never be a time when there will not be seed time and harvest time. Is that not so? There will always be a time to harvest and a time for planting seed. There will always be night, there will always be day. All right. God has made things to work in cycles. Okay? It's never going to be one season. If it was one season, we would die. Can you imagine if it was only cold? Man! Our sweat glands would never have a chance to work. And they would all turn into something else. If it was only hot, man! Those who are brown will turn black. Those who are black will go up in smoke. So God has given variations so that we can survive. Is that not so? Very good. So God has promised that there will always be the seed time and always be the harvest time. So we'll have this and this, 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 and this for your life. Okay? So what we are saying is that we are studying the subject, I shall not want. I've been preaching on I shall not want for some time. Is that not so? And what we are saying, we've gone through three different sections of that very important series. The first section was that God is a provider. And we learned the many ways by which God provides for you. Then the next one was, you shall build a house. Do you remember? That's the next phase. And then the third phase was, you will have food and raiment, your basic necessities. Now we are on the fourth segment of this important series, which is you shall not want because of the harvest. Now, what I'm trying to establish with you is that God has set a system in place, and that system is seed time and harvest time. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you trying to write down the index? I told you last time to write an index for your book. So you just write a new book called I Shall Not Want. Chapter 1 is God is a provider. Chapter 2 is you shall build a house. Chapter 3 is you shall have food and raiment. And chapter 4 is because of the harvest. Huh? Number 2, 20 ways why God. Okay, so fine. It's all the same. You can have 4 chapters in your book. I can have 3. It depends on you. Once the stuff is there. Amen. Okay, are you with me?
Yes.
Now, why will God provide for you? Because of the harvest. Amen.
Amen.
The problem you have will not be a problem of poverty, but a problem of not understanding what God is doing and how He's doing it. Amen. That is your problem, not a problem of God not caring for you or God not answering prayer, but you not understanding the reality of seed time and harvest time. Okay? It's so powerful, so important that all our lives are lived out based on harvesting what we have planted. I'm harvesting what I planted. And I'm planting seeds to harvest tomorrow. I'll give you an example. Today, I am blessed pastoring my church here. And I can write DR by my name. What is DR? Doctor, you get it. But I've planted seeds. My doctor is not an honorary doctorate. It's not a $200 doctorate from an American office. It's a real doctor for school for 7 years. Amen. So I'm blessed. But I'm reaping that because I sowed a seed. Amen. Are you there? I'm here today pastoring this church. If you call that a blessing, I believe it's a blessing. But I'm not here just by arising out of the sky. I just came out and here was a nice church waiting for me to preach to them. You get it? We've been at it for some time, planting seeds. Amen. Are you there? I am trying to tell you that you will experience God's provision based on what you sow in your life. And therefore what you will harvest. Now many people are harvesting problems. And those problems they are harvesting they are harvesting seeds they have sown. Amen. Amen. Now I believe that if you understand what I'm sharing, your life will never be the same. In fact, what I'm sharing is so important that I just pray. Let me pray for you again. Father, I pray open our eyes that we may understand such a powerful and important revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want you to miss it. Tell the person next to you, he doesn't want you to miss it. Amen. Now, there are 3 seeds that I want you to never forget about to sow. Now, somebody said, what's a seed? Anything is a seed. Say anything. Anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Anyway, anything is a seed. Galatians 6, 7. Let's all read Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 together. Ready, go. Therefore, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. He shall reap it. Shall he reap it? He shall reap it. Whatsoever. What does whatsoever mean? Anything. And what does anything mean? Anything. So could it be a slap? How many know that a slap has a harvest? Huh? Do you know that a slap has a harvest? Anybody who gives a slap, bah! There is a harvest of that thing. You mention anything, I'll show you the harvest of it. You are in school, you slap somebody, Before you realize, maybe people come and hold the person who is coming to give you the blow. So you go back and it looks as though you didn't reap. Then afterwards, they call you aside for punishment for fighting. And there you are. In Achimota school, we used to carry manure, 20 buckets. You are reaping your slap. The slap that you gave somebody, you are reaping it. You slap your wife, and she also slaps you back, then you give her a then ceasefire. One day, find yourself in court signing. Do they sign when they are divorcing? You have to sign something at the end. Signed. Bah. Well, bah. Take your, go your way, I go my way. Reaping. Mention it, I'll show you the reap, the reapment, the reprisation of that thing. I said, you mention anything, I'll show you the reaping. Oh yeah. Sit in church, I'll show you how you reap. You reap it definitely. Oh yes. You receive the word, the knowledge, stabilizes your life. So suddenly your life goes this way instead of that way. You are reaping. No, you just get up. You just do your hair, your face. And you are moving. No prayer. And you go out. You reap no prayer. Struggles and hustles. Even as pastors, were we to spend an hour. Himandolobo kabaya. Mindare bebe. Malabababa. Ibayo. You come out in life. God has closed that door. God has prevented that person from coming. Look, if you think God doesn't know, when God was going to call Saul, he said he made his donkey get lost. Even the thing, the donkey that is lost in your house, there is a plan in it. You'll be sitting there saying that you can't find it. There's a plan in everything. It was Saul's donkey was lost. You think that you are doing your business, you are not seeing the prophet, the thing is lost, the donkeys are lost, these are lost. Everything, there is a plan in it. One prayer. Papa Hagin said something. I read a book, it's called I Believe in Visions. He had a vision of Jesus. His wife was sick, his wife was dying of something in the neck. And he was sitting in the church like this, praying. And then suddenly, he had a gift of the discerning spirit. When he looked to the right, Jesus was standing there. Jesus told him, in the church service prayer meeting, Jesus told him, your wife was supposed to die. This was the time that it was designated for her to die. But because of your prayer, she will not die. Let her go to the hospital and have that operation. And that she's going to live and not die. Because of that, he sent her to the hospital. She almost couldn't breathe anymore. And she lived. And after today, she's still alive. As of the last time I knew, she was still alive. 80-something, white hair. White hair, she's bent like. She comes slowly to church. She sits down. She wears her cardigan to hold very cold. She's there. 80-something years. Somebody has reaped from prayer. Prayer may extend your life. May make you meet somebody who will give you advice for your school. School is by grace, not by might. When I was in secondary school, there was a brother. He read the whole of Macbeth, and he would stand up in the class and just start to say the things. Oh, he was just pouring. And he closed the book, put it down. This I know.
Number 9. English literature, I had. English literature. I think he had 9. He would read that. You know, how many were in school? You had some people who could say, this, he said, he put his hand, this I know. I know. Me, I didn't know it. I chewed only 9 lines in the whole book. And I said that any esebiara that will come, whether they ask this or that, these 9 quotations will be inside the essay. That was my strategy. Oh yeah. That was my strategy. Even I sit down in the room, I have my 9 quotations there. And it doesn't matter, whatever there's, I'll write small, then I'll ask, you know, Macbeth said, and then I put 1. There are 9 of them. All 9. I had in literature 1. Oh yeah. It's not by might. It's not by power. That's why some people didn't pass exam, because you probably have didn't meet somebody who will give you a strategy. Anybody who's going to write English literature, I'll show you, come and see me. Let not he that is now going to battle, but he that has gone, has fought, has taken off his coat. He's the one who should talk. I have gone to English literature. I have returned. I've taken off. I have 1. So come and see me. I'll give you strategies. Medical school, the same. You see me walking, you think that I don't know much. Inside my pocket are exam questions. Small. Are you there? Anyway, so I'm trying to say that you meet somebody who will show you something. Perhaps praying will make you not meet somebody you shouldn't meet. There are some people you shouldn't meet. I said there are some people you shouldn't meet. Pray about it. I said, pray about it, brother, that you don't meet them. But some, even though you pray about it, you still meet them. So prayer has its rewards. But you don't pray. Tell me anything that you do. You just make up your face like that. There's a ripping of that thing. You'll be there, no? Sister, who going? Circle. Transy, go ahead. Now, if you're here, I mean, you know, Obwasi, okay. That is saying, now, why a beautiful girl? Beautiful girl, now, who going here? My name is Edestine. I'll say, what do you think about me? I can take you to a good place now. And then you are going. Something is about to knock your head. But because all that you have is your beautiful smile and your nice painted eyes and painted lips, and you come with your short skirt. No prayer. No word. Because if you have prayer and word, you're not dressed like that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. You see your kneecap. Help it, let it say to your kneecap, be my border. It will guide you. When you go to your seamstress to show you. See your kneecap. Ladies, hold your kneecap. That's your guiding post. When I was preaching in Colombia, I said, if you don't, and Colombia girls, I tell you that they are not in Ghana. Front row in the church. Half dress. I said, half skirt. And I was preaching. I was saying that if you have the Spirit of God, you will not be wearing. Then they started pulling. I said, that's right. Are you there? Listen to me. Everything you sow, you reap. The word of God comes into you. And suddenly you reap. When the word of God comes into you, you reap it. Because, for instance, I once read, a king should eat in season for strength, not for pleasure. If
you are a manager of a business, you will eat, when you get that word, eat in season for strength and not for pleasure. In other words, certain things, they are necessary for strength, not for pleasure. Like cars. I have a car for strength, not for pleasure. I don't have the car that I really like to have. No, what is necessary, what is for strength? I've been in an accident before, I almost died. I know the importance of having the right kind of car. I'll spend whatever I have to spend to have a car. I don't care what you think. What you think does not matter. Wisdom is justified of her children. If I'm a fool, so be it. Wisdom is justified of my children. Amen. You cannot influence me to kill myself. When I get to heaven, the angels should just give me, not foolish, but you, people are criticizing you and you just follow their criticism. But there are things people don't know. And that is why in our country, being a minister of state means having a house, having a car, having a... That is all. Many people are after that post because of that. That's why probably this new government were under pressure to appoint new people, because it's like you have to give them some kind of pay for their support. But when you read from the Bible, you realize that there are some things that are necessary, but they should come at the right time for strength, not just for pleasure. It says, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles. When your president or your king is the son of nobles, in other words, he is not just a very desperate person. If you've ever had a country which is ruled by a desperate poor man who came from poverty and desperation and difficulties financially, and he comes to rule, the Bible says that the country will tremble. Just read history. You don't have to go far. But blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles. And when thy princes don't eat in the morning, but they eat in due season for strength and not for pleasure. I read it from my Bible. Suddenly it helps me. So many things. Just having my quiet time, I reap from it. My greatest secret in life is having my quiet time. This is what I've discovered. I heard somebody say my greatest secret, and I was wondering, what is my greatest secret in my life? And I found out that my greatest secret in my life is having my quiet time. Every day, most of my preaching are from my Bible's personal time that I have with God. It's my greatest secret in my life for prosperity, for success in ministry, for wisdom, for building, everything that I have done. My greatest secret is having God with me through his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. If I have 5 minutes or 10 minutes with God, some people think I'm having 10 minutes with the Bible, but you are having 10 minutes with God, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. The word is God. So when you have time with the word, you are having time with God. Hey, I reap all the time from that. I pray for you. Pray about it that you also have your quiet time. So, ladies and gentlemen, everything is a seed. Pastor, what about if I just stand there and I do nothing? I just make my face like this. Is it a seed because I've not done anything? It's a seed. Why is nobody coming to this thing and propose to me? Because you don't smile. Smiling is a seed. Smiling at somebody is something nice. There are people you will employ because they smile. There are people you employ because they can give you a smile and look friendly. Even if they are not friendly, they can even act friendly. And there are some people whose face are... Where is your card? Okay, inside. Hey, out. You wouldn't get certain jobs. So you reap. Somebody may come and say, honey, you are beautiful. Smiling person, even if you are ugly and you smile, beauty increases rapidly like that. Go to the mirror, try it out. If somebody told you you are not nice, just stand there and smile. And realize that the smiling one is nicer than the straight one. So even a smile earns you a friend. And okay, Pastor, what about if I come to church on Thursday evening meetings, and I'm just in the church service? Will I get this in rapings? Yes. There are people who get husbands and wives. Somebody meets a beloved at ministry meeting. Is there anybody who is married here who met your wife in the church? I have somebody right there. Somebody there. Anybody else in the choir? Is there anybody in the choir who is married? All right. You know what? Now they join the choir because they are not married. No, I'm not saying that's why you join the choir. But I'm saying that there is an advantage now. They can see easily how to read because this is a clear advertisement. But notice, when they have children, they no longer come up there. Because they don't know the advantage of still being there. They think the reaping time is over. But they don't know. There's a great blessing for being faithful. So I pity all those. All of them, we've officiated their. One by one, as we officiate them, the choir gets fewer. Lesser and lesser people in the choir. But they don't know. I'm serving the Lord today. One day, I pray I'll stand before Jesus and he'll stretch out his hand and say, well done. Good. I long to see him. I long to hold his feet. I long to experience him. I have a feeling in me to be with Jesus. Amen. And all my life is for that. One day, I will reap what I am sowing, what I have sowed. Amen. And you will also reap what you've sowed. So everything is a seed. Whatsoever is a seed. So your life for the future will depend on what you are doing now and what you are sowing now. Many people think that today, yesterday is gone. You see, so they have the feeling that yesterday is gone. Nothing matters about yesterday. No, it matters. I want to give you three seeds that you must have. Seed number one is a seed called help. I started the other time. Is that not so? A seed called help. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Now, I want to give you about 10 examples in the Bible of people who helped somebody, amen, and received help. Amen. Example number one, Onesiphorus. Well, Ephesians 6:8. Let's look at it. Let's look at Ephesians 6:8. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth. Whatsoever what? So this help, you can write into bracket, doing good things. Doing good things. Doing good things. Doing good things earns you a whole harvest, Doris. There's a whole harvest of good things. Amen. Notice Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Amen. Are you there? Now, what I'm trying to say here is that whatever good thing you do, you will receive a harvest of that good thing you do. But you will not receive it from the person you do it to, necessarily. You will receive it from where? From the Lord. Joel, come. This young man, how old are you?
25.
25 years old. This young man, supposing, is he young? Not so young. Now, supposing I do something good to this one. Where do you work? Do you work?
No.
You don't work? Are you a student? No or yes?
I'm a part-time student.
A part-time student. Now, this is a part-time student who doesn't work. Now, if Pastor Eddie does something good to this part-time student who doesn't work, what is the likelihood that this part-time student who doesn't work can do something back for Pastor Eddie? How many think that there's not much chance? There's not much likelihood that this guy is going to be able to do anything for Pastor Eddie. But you see, that maybe one day, I don't know, it's possible, but looking at circumstances, Pastor Eddie is already blessed. He drives a nice car, has a nice wife already. He has a nice house. He has children. Hey man, what does he need? So what is this Joel going to do for Pastor Eddie? You get what I'm saying? But this is what the Bible says, that whatsoever good thing A man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. The Lord. The Lord will cause good reapings of good things to come back to you. So if you help Pastor Eddie, if you help Joel, let's say you take him up and say, okay, Joel, you're going to part-time school, but I'm going to pay for you to go to full-time school. Huh? And I'm going to give you a part-time job. Joel will say, thank you. God bless you. And he'll go back to his seat. And Pastor Eddie will look like somebody who has just spent money on somebody for nothing. But one day, you will reap a harvest of that thing. Somewhere, somehow, one day, somewhere. The same thing, good thing you did to somebody, you will have it. And listen, let me tell you, life is more than money. Life is more than... There's a whole part of life which involves somebody doing something good for you. If you don't know, I'm telling you, life involves... By God's grace, I have my own house. But I remember the person through whom I got a house. It's very difficult to have a house. Somebody helped me. Somebody helped me. But I've helped many people too. Oh yeah, I've helped many people to have houses. God also helped me to have a house. I have organized crusade for Reverend Saki. Have I not organized crusade for Reverend Saki? If you've been around for a long time, you've seen I've organized crusade for a long time. For many years. Many years. And I don't know, I never thought about anybody organizing crusade. I never even thought of having a crusade. But last year, when I walked into a stadium with 100,000 people, a crusade had been planned, costing thousands and thousands of dollars in a very large stadium. And circumstances kept changing to the point where I was the main and the only speaker. At first they were bringing, this person was going to speak, the person was going to speak was refused visa, this one was refused, this one was refused, this happened, then when I came, my interpreter told me, Bishop, you are the and the only speaker for this crusade. I said, amen. And when I didn't have any idea. When I walked into the place, I've never been in a stadium like that. The Accra Sports Stadium is a youth stadium, a children's stadium compared to that thing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But God organized a crusade for me. Flew me there. Organized television. This and that and that and that. So many. And there I was. It never occurred to me. But you see, all I'm trying to say is that whatsoever good thing you do for somebody or to do to somebody, I've organized crusade, I've bought tracts. Even in this church, there's nothing in the church which has my name on it. That Doug Hayward Mills something. There's nothing. But there is something like that for Reverend Saki. It's not something that I do. He would tell me that I should. I said, I am doing it. You hear what I'm saying? I have done everything, and all my pastors, and I've tried to push them into the ministry, push them, push, try and do, go, you can. All my life. But whatsoever good thing you do, the same, you reap it from the Lord. Don't think about people when you are doing good things. If you think about people, you always stop yourself from helping somebody. Life is more than having money and having it. There are things that people will help you. God will send somebody into your life. And you must always be grateful for those things that God does and the people that he sends to your life. Life is more than just money. You can have a lot of money, but you don't even know important people. Amen. Amen. Are you still in the church?
Yes.
I see it happening all the time. So I am saying that decide to be somebody who plants. Plants. And when you are doing, do it unto the Lord, not unto anybody. Do it unto the Lord. Years ago, I was in a church called Victory Church. Look, I organized to buy instruments for the church, at beginning church. I played instruments. Never did I receive even £1. I've never played instrument for money. I played drums, I played the keyboard.
To a point where they thought I was a, somebody thought I was a professional drummer. They came to ask me after church whether I'm a professional. I said, oh, no, I'm not a professional. I'm just playing. Play faithfully, 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 faithfully. One day, the pastor of the church called me. So I should come and see him in his office. So I came. I was wondering what he was wanting to see me. My heart was beating the whole week, and I went to see him in his office. When I went there, I sat down, and he asked me. He wanted to train me to become his assistant in the church, assistant pastor. I said, me? And I had to come to Ghana to medical school. Oh, yeah. But you see, even just the fact that I was a faithful drummer, I wasn't even a singer. You know, singers are always known. But I was just at the background. Background. Singing, playing, working. Always there. Somebody will notice you. Perhaps it may not be the person you may think you are doing it unto. But God will see and God will select and say, look, I've decided to bless you. Brothers and sisters, when you have an... And that is why many of us... This is the point I'm trying to make. This is, don't miss this. Look, listen carefully. This is why many of us don't have certain things. Because a time came, God gave you an opportunity to sow a seed and you refused to sow it. So when it was time for you to receive that help from somewhere, there was nothing to harvest. Because the spiritual laws have not been enacted on your behalf for you to reap such a thing. For somebody to just come to you and say, is it Theodosia? To come to you and say, Theodosia, I like you. I like the way your face is. Look, I'm taking you to America to train you for McDonald's. Do you know McDonald's? I'm training you to America to train you for McDonald's. How many here would like to be taken to America to be trained for McDonald's? Raise up your hand. You don't want to go? Okay. Who wants to go? Raise up your hand. You want to go. She's decided now she wants to go. Taking her to America to train her for McDonald's, and she's going to come back. Even if you don't gain anything, at least you get a visa. Now, for somebody to look at you to decide, I want to help her. Perhaps one day somebody asked you about someone and asked you that person is, and you realize that if you say yes, the person will be, if you say no, the person will not. And you say, oh, yes. You were helping somebody. Perhaps that's what you reap as somebody else look at your face and say, I like this person now. You know, people look at people's faces and say, I like you. If you don't know, I'm telling you. Interviewer, they decide, I was reading a book, most 90% by appearance and not by the paper and this. No, it's just how they see you and how they feel. How they feel about you. I'll take you. No, I'll take the other one. So, brothers and sisters, an opportunity to help. Some of you, God gave you an opportunity to help me, but you wouldn't help me. Time passed, and the time for you to reap, for somebody to help you came. There was nobody to help you. It didn't work. It was aborted. Oh, yes. Anybody who helps the church is helping God. You are doing a good thing. It may not be a money seed, but it's something that you are helping. Do it. God will bless you. Sing for Jesus. Play for the Lord. Do whatever you can do. Whatever good thing you do, you will reap it. You are an usher, you will reap it. You will definitely reap it. You see this boy here, Benjamin? A whole lot of people I don't know. Come. I don't know this guy's name. I don't know your 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 name. But I know his name is Benjamin. If I'm looking for somebody, and something comes up and I want someone else, anybody I know? Benjamin. There's a guy called Benjamin. He sits in the front here. If not for anything, for the number of times that he keeps coming here, he sits in front here, he puts on his badge, he carries the basket up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. If not for anything, I know somebody, I know it's Benjamin. For that alone, he'll reap it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But I showed you, all these people, I don't know their names. And so sometimes when we ask, is there anybody here who would like to be an usher? Is there anybody who would like to be an usher? And you see people, you young men, Look at young, nice people. Nobody wants to do anything, but this person will do it. So whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Don't look at me. I'm not going to reward him. I have not promised. Have I promised you any reward? Huh?
No.
Last time I came to you and I told her, when you do, we'll give you 2.3 million.
No, he didn't say that, no.
The same shall he receive of the Lord. Help people. Be kind. Forgive. Forgiveness is help. You see, when you forgive somebody, the person has fallen down in front of you. And you look at the person and say, uh-huh. Have you seen?
Come, Joel. Fall down here, fall down. You see? Be down, you are down. You see? He did wrong. Did he not do wrong? And that's why he's fall, that's why he's down. We should finish him off. We should help him. We should hold his hand. We should lift him up. One day somebody will also hold your hand like that and lift you up. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive money. One day, it's not money you may need, but just help to come out. So I'm saying, I'm teaching you to sow a seed called help. Onesiphorus, let's read. I'm giving you about 20 people. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, because we are ending with this one. Can I have some water to drink, please? Water? Water? Is that how you say it here? Water? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of who? Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant him that in fact he may find mercy in that day. And in how many things he did what? He ministered unto me. You see, he was ministering to Paul personally. How many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Amen. May the Lord bless Onesiphorus. How many are going to be Onesiphorus in the church? Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. Everybody in this church must find something to do. If you hear me preaching like this, you cannot afford to sit down and be watching them. We are, you know, attenders. We just come on Sunday. My friend, don't be silly. Start to do something. Somebody will know you. Sometimes people come and see me, Pastor, I'm doing this thing, ACCA, and I need this thing, 2.2 million cedis to finish the payment for. And I ask him, who is your pastor in the church? Okay, I don't have any this thing. My first is join the chapel. I don't know you. How can I take 2 million cedis from where? Which 2 million cedis? The church is 2 million. The church doesn't have any policy to be giving 2 million cedis to people to go and do ACCA course. There's no policy like that in the church. Somebody else, what is the policy of the church for helping? There's no policy like that. But if somebody knows you, and somebody can say, hey man, that guy is a real brother, let's help him. There are times that, I mean, Reverend Saki will tell me, you know, so and so and so and so, this is the situation, and so on. And I'll say, oh, let's help him, let's help her. He can't afford, but this brother, I don't know your name, what's your name? Mensa what?
Solomon
Mensa. What's your chapel, pastor? Which chapel do you belong to?
I don't have a chapel.
You don't have a chapel. You don't have a chapel. Hey, brother. Which chapel do you belong to?
Lighthouse Tessano Branch.
Lighthouse Tessano Branch. Okay. That's Stella. So you see, how can we help? How can help be given to you? No, but because there are 1,001 liars and thieves. There are blind men at those traffic lights who are not blind at all. They see more than you see. There are people who have put things on their faces. It's nothing. When they wipe it off, they see them laugh and say, men are 72,000. 72,000 a day. Onesiphorus. Tell the person next to you, brother, you look like Onesiphorus. Amen. Amen. Number two, quickly. The disciples.
What did Jesus say?
What did Jesus say about his disciples? Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. He was speaking to his disciples. What did he say? Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Amen. I want everybody to take note of this particular one. Listen. The disciples, the 12 disciples, they are those who continued with me, with Jesus, in his difficult times. What was the reward for that, Kobe? What was the reward for Jesus' disciples? What was the reward? They'll judge the thrones of Israel, the 12 tribes, and what else? They will eat and drink at the same table. You'll never understand this till you go perhaps to Korea with me. But when I was in Korea and Dr. Yonggi Cho's outfits, they have what they call board dinners. So every night they will go to, every night I think, while the conference is going, to some big hotel. And then inside they have set a big, dinner. And then there are different tables. And then we all come in there, all of us board members and pastors. Then they will decide who should sit at table with Dr. Yonggi Cho. And they will call, say, You come and sit with Dr. Cho. Oh yeah? And when you are not sitting there, it's like you are like stepchildren in another. Maybe there are about 8 tables. You get what I'm saying? And there's one table with them. That's the most important table because Yonggi Cho himself is sitting there. And I remember once when I was there, the very first time, I didn't know, they called for me and said, come and sit by Dr. Cho. And I was sitting there and my wife was sitting there. Do you remember? Was sitting right at the table. And I said, man, what a privilege. I was scared. Give me something. That was the first time. Take a camera. Take pictures. Somebody should take. You know, we cannot forget this moment. Because you have been called to sit at the table. And that's what Jesus said. You 12 guys, you have suffered far with me. In fact, you sit with me at the table. And then you will judge. We all judge in sitting in thrones. I'll have a throne, you have a throne, etc. And we will be judging different nations. But the 12 disciples, they will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Powerful. And then the dinner times, and they're always with Jesus. 12 guys, Charlie. Me! Why? Why? Because they were there with Jesus. When people were facing him, everybody left. Remember when everybody left, they stayed. Everybody, remember the time Jesus preached and said, except you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you can't. People were annoyed with that message. People said he has changed. Things have different. Anointing is not flowing. He's gone into false doctrine. Everybody left, but they stayed. They said, we are with you. Peter said, we have left all. What shall we get? You can't lose your blessing by helping somebody. It will earn you a place, a special place. How many are going to help somebody? Don't be afraid to help somebody who is down and out. Don't be afraid to help me say, if we help him, or if we help the church, this thing. I mean, nobody will see us because nobody has to see you. The thing is a spiritual thing that you reap from somewhere. I don't want somebody to see you. Nobody has to see you. There's nothing about seeing. There's nothing about seeing. I mean, if somebody is leaving the church and you convince the person to stay in the church and you stabilize the church, you don't have to come to me and say, tell me that, we want you to know that this sister, Osei Oforiwa, Rosemary, Osei, was going away. And then we met her on the way and then we have convinced her, we have brought her. So anything for us, nothing for you. I'm sorry. Can't pay you for that. Can't pay you. You just do it. You just do it. Do it unto the Lord. Whatever good thing you do, any service you want to do,
Look at our own Betty at the back there. Where is she? Betty, give me a wave. She's drawn for the church. I'll never forget all the drawings she's drawn. She drew this place. She did that building over there. She drew this one over there. She's never charged us a dime, not even a CD. A CD. Not a CD. For all her professional services, designing and stamping and whatnot, all these years. Hey, Charlie, I can't pay her. God will help her. Perhaps you can ask her whether God hasn't helped her, or whether God is not helping her. Definitely. The Lord himself will, he says that whatever good thing a man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Me, the things that I do that are good, I don't even need to tell Pastor Jake about it. He doesn't need to know. If Pastor Jake knows about it, in fact, I may even lose my reward. I may end up losing. So don't be afraid to work for the Lord. Think, this place, there are liars, deceivers. They go around and say, they will use you. This church, they will use you. 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 Your mouth like they will use you. Your mouth like they will use you. They will use you. They will use you. I've had people say, one guy called somebody in America and said, when he comes to America to start a church, don't help. They will use you. This lighthouse, they will use you. Liar. Liar. God will use you. Yes. And God will bless you. Yes. And God will lift you up. Yes. You watch and see. Onesiphorus. He said, you will sit at the table with me. Amen. Next person. The servant who was forgiven. The servant who was forgiven. Matthew 18. You know that story. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000. For as much as he did not pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold. He was to be sold. Not something of his, he himself. And his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, 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 have patience with me. I'll pay thee all. Oh, I'll pay thee all. I'll pay. I promise I'll pay. Please. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by throat, saying, pay me that thou owest now. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. I promise, in Jesus' name, I'll pay thee all. And he would not. He would not. He would not help him. He would not forgive him. But he went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due.
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Hey brother, forgiving somebody is helping the person. When you hold the person to what he really owes you, you are being unmerciful. And you are saying that, Charlie, unless you pay. But the guy who forgave him said, okay, come by. It's all right. I'll help you to come by. If you can forgive, God can also forgive you. Because you and I are so some way that you have no idea. You see, we are so useless before God that God needs to be able to forgive us. Every time you have a chance to forgive somebody, put it in the bank. Release the person. Forgive the person. Add it to your credits for your own life, for the future. If you think I'm lying, mark it somewhere. You are going to need God's mercy. People don't know how. One day I was with some pastors, and one of the pastors was laughing at. He was laughing at another pastor because of some problems that the pastor had. And there were just about 8 of us. And he was laughing. Charlie, the guy, ego. He was laughing. Oh, Charlie, the guy did that. He was talking, laughing. And I was sitting down on a chair. And he was sitting on my left ear. And he was coming for some drink. And as he caught up with his crackling laughter, he was coming, passing over me. And I held his, you see this boo-boo? Or what? I held it. I said, be careful. Careful now. Be careful. I said, you haven't reached there. You haven't reached there. Be careful. Otherwise, the same thing will happen to you. And he took the biscuit or whatever it was that he was getting, and he went back to his seat. About a week later, you don't want to hear the rest of the story. Hey, brothers, careful now. When you see somebody down, don't mark the person with a red chalk. Say, brother, as far as I'm concerned, you are forgiven. Come along. Every husband who does not forgive his wife and every wife who does not forgive her husband is not wise. Amen. Amen. What do you think? See people criticizing pastors. You are criticizing pastor. Were we to look at your life properly, perhaps you wouldn't stand for even 2 minutes. And you are criticizing a pastor. Really? At least he has been able to do something for God and has been able to become a pastor. What have you been able to do? Now you are sitting down criticizing him. Careful now. I said what? Careful now. Say that for me. Careful now. Say the word. Say careful now. There are people who have criticized Bishop Duncan Williams many times. And I often tell them that, look, if you have been only to class 3, you didn't even reach class 4. Class 3, well, you cannot even write your name. And you have risen from all these places to come. Be careful. I said, careful now. Oh, yeah. Because even with that background, the person has been able to do something. Amen. Are you there? Next one. So forgive. Forgive and forget. Is it not somebody who sang that song? Huh? Talal, isn't it? Forgive. I should get him to come and sing the song for us in the church. Miracle wave. Forgive. Next one. Jacob and who? Laban. Jacob and Laban. and Jacob and Esau. Jacob deceived his brother seriously. One day, not his brother, but his brother was down. You get it? He deceived his brother and his brother went down. His brother could never reach him again. He knew that his brother could never touch him again because he was now blessed. He said, your brothers and sisters shall serve you. So now how can somebody who is going to serve you ever do anything bad to you? But God raised up an uncle who was more deceptive than Jacob. An uncle called Laban. The guy made him marry. He said, I want to marry your daughter Rachel. Said, work for me for 7 years. She's only 21. She's only 25. So he worked for her for 7 years when she was 32. Then he gave her to her. He had been looking at her every day. 32 years old. Bridal, this thing they had, you know, they had a veil. That's where that veil comes from. And she was smiling below the veil and so on. They went to the honeymoon, everything. Rachel, I love you. Rachel, oh my beauty, oh my love, oh my sweet. Rachel. Till morning. Then it was morning. Then he woke up and said, Rachel. Oh! It was Leah. Leah had all the raps that he had for Rachel. Oh, man. He got up. He was so bored. He said, I mean, how have you heard of anything like that before? How can you give somebody the wrong, this thing? Somebody that I'm not marrying, you are giving me that. What kind of, I mean, what is this nonsense? How? He went to Laban. Laban said, okay. You see, I put one and two together. I realized that, in fact, if I release my younger daughter before the older one, it will not be good. So that's why I've given. But you say what? I said, I've given you the older one. That's the order. If you really want the second one, get to the job. Get to the job. 7 more years. Jacob was surprised. I said, hey, my life, huh? Jacob, sly man. Somebody has swerved me like that. Whosoever thou shalt swerve, thou shalt also be swerved. And thy swerving shall be greater than the first swerve. Whatsoever thing doeth, the same shall thou receive of the Lord. Don't worry about the person who you are harming, the other person who is. And I said, Laban, you see, the way he answered, he said, okay, I put one and two together. I look at things and I realize that, in fact, it will not be advisable for me to release the younger before the older. So, in fact, you just take Leah like that, okay? Jacob wanted to slap the guy, but he was his father-in-law. How can you slap your father-in-law? So he said, okay, I'll give a mobile phone to Rachel so that you can be calling her from time to time. After 7 years, you can marry her. This one was 25. He married her when she was 20 plus 7, 32. So now he was going to, Rachel was also 32 or 31 plus 7, 38. When they married, she couldn't have children. So now the woman had grown, you see. So now the children, this thing was very difficult. Jacob was annoyed. You have made a woman grow old. 14 years. Somebody that I've seen and wanted to marry have made me wait for 14 years. What is that? You're not fine. Charlie, whatsoever good thing thou doeth. So he began to have marital problems. More. The wife faced him seriously in the house. And Jacob said, am I God? That's the first. You see barrenness. No wife, no child. Jacob said, am I God? Am I God? Am I God? you are God because when the blessing was going to somebody, you went and took the blessing. So you are now God. So now help your wife. So Charlie, be kind though. Are you people afraid of this thing? Be afraid of it too, because people are reaping harvest day by day. Next one. David and Saul. David had a chance to kill Saul. He said, no, I don't kill pastors. I don't kill kings. Anointed people I don't touch. One day, A time came when he also. How many know that Saul was into witchcraft? Soul power. Nobody was more far from God than Saul. Far. He was into witchcraft. First Samuel told him, people thought that he was just saying, someone was just using some poetical, they said that God, no, witchcraft is at the sin of rebellion. But he went to the witch later. It was a prophetic thing. He went to the witch later. He spent his last night in the house of the witch. A witch is somebody who uses other forms of power to do things. Soul power, manipulation, hype, witchcraft power. Are you listening to me? And that was Saul. It was no wonder that he was the one person who slaughtered priests. A person who kills pastors is a witch. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Never befriend somebody who kills pastors. David had the chance to kill this demonized guy. David said, I should take my and tie the Lord's hand. Nah. One day, David also saw Bathsheba. He fell in love with her. He got married to her. And everybody knew that it was Uriah's wife. And that he had actually killed Uriah to get her. But I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23, I think. Quickly now. I'm finishing with this one today. No way am I continuing. 2 Samuel, it is not so. Okay, 2 Chronicles. Then it's Chronicles. After Kings, you have Chronicles. Second Samuel chapter 23. Sorry, it is Second Samuel chapter. How come it got lost? Second Samuel chapter 23. We are ending. And I'm finishing everything. Oh. Second Samuel chapter 23. Read it, verse 39. What does it say? Uriah the Hittite. Is that not so? Okay. Notice verse 8, 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 8. What does it say? 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. What does it say? These be the names of the who? Mighty men. Mighty men. Amen. He was one of the mighty men. He killed him. And all these wild, wild guys were in David's army. What happened to them? Nothing. Is that so? They did not touch David. They could have killed David. Is that not so? Notice the three mighty men. Various things. The next one, I don't want to go into all that. Noah and his sons. Remember his son Ham, Shep, Japheth? He had a son called Ham. And his father was naked. His father had drunk and fallen asleep. His pajamas had come off. He had vomited on himself and he was just lying there like that. And Ham said, come and see. Come and see what has happened to our father, to our pastor. When Noah got up, Noah didn't even see. When he got up and he heard the curse that he gave him, he said, a servant of servants shall thou be. And Ham was a black man. Ham means dark, black. The descendants of Ham were Ethiopia, Sudan, Egypt, and all the black races. The descendants of Japheth were Europe, the Europeans, Americans, and so the descendants of Shem were the people in the Middle East. If anybody has a Dick's Bible, you can read all those things from the Bible there. It's not my... You can see the descendants of those. Today, people make fun of black people. It's like wherever there are black people, there's no problem. Indeed, we have become servants of servants. Carriers of bags. I was speaking to one official of an embassy, and they were telling me this embassy was doing a KVIP for a constituency in Kumasi. And I was asking myself that KPVI in the year 2001, white people are making PVKIs for us. Is there not something wrong? A place to poo-poo. Can we not design our own poo-poo place and build our own poo-poo house? KVP, K-I-P-V, P-V-I-K, K-V-P. It's pathetic. I said it's disgraceful. I said it's disgraceful. Auntie Katie, is it not disgraceful? Should a white man come and build a poo-poo place for us? A poo-poo place that he himself would never use such a thing. You go there, it is a big hole. The thing goes like, shh, tim. Me, quit. Oh, it's not appropriate. I say it's not appropriate. There's none in Germany, and yet they come and make it for us here. Oh, man. This is a shame. One day somebody told a story, said that a Chinese man, a Japanese man, and then Japanese and an American, and then an African, they were all going to heaven. And when they got to the gates of heaven, they called the Japanese man, asking that, why is he coming, an Asian? He said, oh, he has built so many things. This is a secular joke, but it has some kind of meaning. He says, we have built secular, I've made video decks, we have built buildings, we have made a television, Toyota, and other things. Okay, come in. Then they asked the American, why have you? He said, oh, I've built skyscrapers, this, that, bridges, jumbo jets, so many things. Okay, come in. And they came to the African, and they asked him, what does he want? I mean, why is he coming? What does he want? He said, oh, no, I was just carrying their bags for them. It's a bad story. It's a bad story. Man. We are delivered in Jesus' name. I said we are delivered in Jesus' name. Abigail helps them, David. Two more, we are finished. Abigail helped David, helps the man of God. Remember when Abigail and David were going along, and it got to a point when David was going to kill Nabal, a Nabalic husband, and Abigail stepped in and stopped it and said, no, don't kill. And she helped him and she gave him food. A few weeks later, Abigail's husband died and she was a widow. But God raised up David, and David said, I like you. I will marry you. So she was a widow for just a short while, and then she became a wife again. Or what do you think? From the wife of a fool to the wife of a king. She was promoted. Oh, you don't think so? Ladies and gentlemen, if we do something good, we will reap that same good thing. Amen. The next one is Rahab, and the final one is Rahab, who helped the spies. She helped the spies, and God helped her. She helped the 12 spies. She hid them, or the 2 spies. She hid them, and later on, they came and they helped her. And she, through her, Jesus came, the genealogy. Jesus eventually came. I can give you, Jane, I can continue, and Ruth helped her mother-in-law. Jane, you know Ruth? Ruth and her mother, what was her mother? Naomi. She said that your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. Where you'll be buried, I will be buried. I'm with you. A widow. A widow who could never help her. She asked, and Naomi asked, are there any more children in my womb that can marry you? That's a very good question. You are helping somebody who can never help you again. You know that as long as she's alive, she has no more children in her womb whom she can give birth to marry. And yet you are helping her. The same shall you receive of the Lord. Stand to your feet. All right.
Christ.
Shall we pray? Oh, hold somebody's hand and tell the person, brother, I hope you will be helping people so that, if I tell the person, for instance, you can help me and I can also help you. All right. Father, we thank you for your word today in the mighty name of Jesus.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.